Hey, it's Adam Carolla. Now, if you're hearing my voice, it means you like podcasting. And if you like podcasting, well, then you're going to love my show. Lots of funny segments, good bits, great guests, and of course, moi. That's Mexican for me. So check it out at Podcast One, iTunes, or wherever you listen to fine podcasts. The Adam Carolla Show. Throw it on your phone. It's free.
Recorded live at Carolla One Studios with Adam Carolla and board-certified physician and addiction medicine specialist, Dr. Drew Pinsky. You're listening to The Adam and Dr. Drew Show.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get on a trip. We're going to make it on, man. Thanks for listening, man. We got to be free, man.
Do what we
want to do, man.
Where do you think the word man came from as a sort of a weird punctuation? You know, like in the 50s, the beatniks. Hey, man.
I don't know. I don't know where dude gets started. I don't know how any of this stuff works, but I usually choose not to participate. Either way, we were talking about, doing this racing and who pays and what if you crash and blah, 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 blah. And I was telling you, now, do you know what a Batmobile looks like?
I don't
know.
You do. The Batmobile?
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about, man. The Cape Crusader out on the track racing with the Ace Man. No, very famous BMW CSL 3.5, Group 5. And Gary, I'll show you a picture.
I feel like I do, or I should.
I'll show you a picture.
In what livery should I be looking? I don't want to screw this up.
All right. Group 5, 3.5, CSL, Sam Posey, Hans Stuck.
Group 5, 3.5.
Batmobile, BMW.
What's a Hans Stuck?
Hans Stuck's a very famous German race car driver. That car has done a lot of winning and has a lot of history.
I'm seeing several liveries here. Is it predominantly green?
It's predominantly white. If it says Posey and Stuck on it, it'll be white probably. That car, hard to put a value on it, but $1 to $1.5 million, I would say. Probably more now that the values of vintage race cars have gone up.
Gone crazy.
Could be a $2 million car. It's a very expensive car.
All right.
And in my run group, in my race, there it is. That's the Group 5.
Yes.
You know the car?
I'm familiar.
Very iconic.
I know it, yeah.
Very good looking car and very expensive. And those guys were in a race with me, and there are probably 44 cars in the race. And the I guess we got footage from my car somewhere. But anyway, the racetrack does something that some racetracks do, which I don't think is a great design. Just the start finish is a hill that you can't really see over. So what happens is the cars all line up two abreast, you know, one right, one left, and the way the cars line up, if there's 44 cars, there'll be 22 cars on the right and 22 cars on the left. And as you see Laguna Seca, the start-finish is the bridge that goes over the top there with the start-finish tower
that's
up there.
That's Laguna Seca.
Right. And as you go up and over the hill, you can't see what's down the other side of the hill. Gary's doing a masterful job of moving us along. Now, I was probably third. I probably qualified maybe eighth. So I would be four back from the front of the grill, of the grid, right? And if you look up, you guys can go to, where do they go to? Drew
Adam
Show.
And DrDrewShow.com.
You look up, you'll see a speed. It's 103. That's the speed that everyone's basically going because you're starting slow. You're doing a rolling start. Everyone's getting bunched up.
It's so weird that 103 miles an hour is slow.
Well, it's slow in those cars.
Yeah.
And everyone's getting bunched up, and they'll drop the green flag when everyone gets bunched up.
Okay.
And then once they drop it, everyone goes.
Okay.
And now everyone goes. But I notice, being closer to the front of the race, that a 935 Sachs 935K, big, beautiful. Gary, find me the Sachs, S-A-C-H-S, 935 Kremer car, Porsche. You're going to love this
Kremer.
Car. Kremer? C-K-R-E-M, E-R, I think. That car on the pole or close to the pole in the very front, turbo, something gives way, flames coming out of the back of the car. And the car's a guy's immediately off the throttle. Something broke, like big in his car. And it's like he's literally a coasting. Right. Now get me the K and get me the Kremer and get me the Sachs car. Okay. That guy's off it. His car blew up.
Yeah.
I'm behind him and a couple other guys, and we're off it. But all the guys in the back of the race are on it. Because there's a hill.
They haven't seen it.
And you can't see over the hill.
Holy crap. Look at
it
that.
It says Sash on it, and it says K3. I'm not sure if this is right.
We're looking at the car. And by the way, that's my car.
What do you mean?
That's the Newman Porsche?
I own that car. That's the Newman Porsche. It's the only car done in Apple livery.
Wait, I'm confused. That's what it has, that big spoiler on the back and stuff, or just the same car? I'm confused.
Why wouldn't I?
It's the same car with a different paint job.
Okay.
That's the car Adam owns.
But I don't remember the car. But when you say the car.
Yeah. That's a good. That's, you can be confused. I'll
that's not it. Your vehicle I'm looking at that somebody did something to.
No, it's my vehicle. It's just the body pieces and the livery would change. The paint job would change on the car. But
okay,
I own that car. That's good. Yeah. Okay. So one of those Sachs cars, not my car, but one of those big turbo 935 thing blows up. And so everyone on the other side of the hill, on the downside of the hill, is off the throttle. And why I don't like races to start this way is everyone on the back part is on it. Mm-hmm. So if you're in 30, if you've qualified 37th, you're on it. And you don't know that everyone in front of you is off it. And what you're supposed to do is crest and come over that hill, and we're supposed to be gone. But we're not gone because the guy blew his thing up. Now, this is where the flags come in. Somebody should feverishly be waving a yellow flag.
But you wouldn't see that. The guy's coming. Yeah,
they're all around the track.
Yeah, yeah.
But the point is once it's on, the amount of time before you react to looking to the right, to the left, and seeing yellow flag and getting off it, those 3 seconds, that's a problem.
Yeah.
And what happened was, is on cold tires and cold brakes, as they went over the tire, a guy in a Roush Mustang came over the hill, saw what was happening, hit the brake, and one tire locked up. And I don't know how it worked, but one of the rears locked, and he just took this guy in this $2 million Batmobile Sam Posey Hans Stuck car right into the cement barrier.
Ugh.
I'll show it to you. Go ahead. Gary will play it.
Here we go. I don't like this.
Watch the car on the right. Oh.
Oh.
Right into a cement barrier. So,
I'll give you another view from a little bit, like three cars further back.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just how the race starts. You come around, let them come around the corner. Gary, come around the corner. There you go. Turn it up. Now it's on.
Now go over the hill.
Right.
And
there's a problem over the hill. Everyone has to slow that fast. There you go. So that's the problem with the hill. I'm not sure why they would design it that way. Is
anybody hurt
sense?
In that?
No, no one was hurt. And
how is that possible? They're going 150 miles an hour to stop.
No, they're going 110 miles an hour.
Oh, way off. Way off.
So the thing that was funny is
80 miles an hour to stop. Your body keeps moving forward.
They got the brakes on. They got
no,
the brakes on.
You missed
on.
My point. No,
I know
no,
what your
no.
point is.
They're
wearing
a 6-point harness, Drew.
Come on, Drew.
No, gentlemen.
Drew's like all the groceries in the back. Hit you in the back of the head. You just went by Sprouts.
That big purse I put back there. I'm flying forward.
But you're wearing your lactating bra. That's holding the end.
Listen
to your
me.
Nursing bra.
Listen
yeah.
to me. Gary, you listen to me.
Yeah.
You've hold your rib cage from moving, but inside your rib cage are a bunch of organs that keep moving, and the connection of the ductus arteriosus will rip your aorta in half.
Drew's
no pain,
Drew's
no gain.
Right.
Over 60 miles an hour, you're fucked.
The Drew's right, but the guy hit it at enough of an angle
okay.
that he didn't spin him enough, and there's right. not that much cement on that track, but he found it,
Sheesh.
And he's fine.
But you understand my concern, right?
I
there's
do.
Stuff that keeps moving, even though the
Yeah, no, I know.
Frame
I get it.
Of your body is held in place. The stuff that's moving inside your body.
The that's why they have those safe barriers. Oh, that track doesn't have safe pairs, but that one would have them. But anyway.
You just got just have a little deceleration rather than a sudden stop.
Yeah. That's what you're looking for. The guy who crashed a car or got the car. Now, the one guy was just going in a straight line and a Mustang just took him out into a wall. And I said to the dude the next year, I saw him. He was there, got the car all put back together. A lot of work, blah, blah, blah. You know, this car can cost 150, 200 grand, put that car back together. I don't know what he paid, but I mean, you drop that car off somewhere after it gets in a wreck like that, it's a couple, that could be a lot of money, a lot. And I said to the guy, how's it work? I mean, I know you don't have insurance and he doesn't have, no one has insurance on the track, but
what's
protocol?
Yeah.
In case I do this to somebody, what'd the guy say after he took you into the wall? I said, nothing. I said, where was he? Going to the hospital or something? Like, no, he's here. Well, where would he even come over and say hi? I said, no. I said, where was he? He was just pitted just 100 yards away. And he never even walked over and said anything? He's like, no, never said a word.
And did the guy feel bad, this victim? Not that you can tell.
Not bad enough to go walk over to him and go, what the fuck, where's your checkbook?
And no expectations that anybody's responsible for anything financially.
Evidently not.
It's every man for themselves.
The guy never came over and had a conversation.
So forget to come over and have a conversation, be civil. It's every man for themselves. That's
I guess it is.
Yeah.
All right. Got a call up there?
No. I want to talk about Chester Bennington for a second.
Oh, Chester.
I've been talking about that forever.
Yeah. Linkin Park.
And this all happened on Cornell's birthday, Chris Cornell's birthday. So there's
it was his birthday?
Yeah, there was speculation that had something to do with it.
Hear that.
And there's no doubt that Chester has had a lot of he's had a lot of time on the mic talking about how miserable he gets and how depressed he gets and how his addiction spirals out of control and how much better he is when he's sober and how dark he can get. And the fact is he did have a bottle of alcohol by his side when this happened. It's a reminder about depression and suicide that you know,
he left a note. Is that, did he leave a note?
That's not what I'm hearing. I
heard something about that.
Is there a note? Anybody hear about a note? Gary, look it up.
Gary,
I keep hoping there's a note because that'll start to make sense then. Because I keep worrying that it was an accident or, you know.
Has anyone officially deemed it a suicide?
Well, the coroners jumped to that very quickly. And same with Chris Cornell. They're like, oh, that's what's common. So that's what it is. He's by himself.
No.
Wait, how'd he kill himself then?
With a belt around his neck.
Wait a minute.
That's what I'm saying.
Well, wait a second. Look, there's two choices. It's suicide or autoerotic asphyxiation, right?
Those are the choices.
It's only A and B.
A and B.
And I got to believe there's some...
Six kids, wife he loves. Early in the day, planning his weekend. Tour starts on Sunday. Just got a great review.
Well, the pants were off. The question is then this. Is there any... So here's my thing with that. Suicide versus autoerotic asphyxiation.
Yeah. Both, by the way, complications of addiction.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I get it. Because we just need to up the ante with everything, right?
Well, it's not just that. Is that even post-using, opiate addicts have a trouble feeling satisfied from sexual experiences. It's sort of like that system is not working normally. The euphoria system is sort of altered.
Yeah.
So
they're not decaf drinkers. They need to jack everything up. It's a lot of tattoos and a lot of base jumping and just everything needs to be ratcheted up because we burnt out zone.
That's
okay.
Right. Or they were trauma survivors to begin with, but it's sort of multiplicity of factors, yes.
Okay. So here's what I need to know.
Mm-hmm.
Suicide versus the other one.
Yeah.
I oftentimes think of that part. Well, maybe you can speak to this.
Yeah.
The part where Marilyn was found in the nude, as Elton John would say, the nude part or the pants down kind of thing. I got to believe, and I'm not suicidal, but if I was, I would probably think like, I would like to put some sweatpants on. I'll kick off the flip flops and maybe I'll put on a hoodie or something where it's not going to be just me and rigor mortis and small penis and huge sack. Like, I don't want, you know, like a little dignity in death. I would feel weird about the nude.
You don't want to be a phallus, see?
Yes. I've always had that thought about it. He killed himself and they found him naked in the apartment building. It's like, yeah. And I get it. You're out of your mind.
Yes.
And everything's out of their mind.
That's right.
And, you know, people can go, oh, well, you don't want to crap yourself or whatever. And maybe you do crap yourself. I swear to God, I would put a diaper on and put some sweatpants on. Like, I would just have this element of whether it's the cops, the coroner, or the family, when they walk in, this will be traumatizing enough. Let's not take it to the next level. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yes.
So my first sort of thought is, if it's neither here nor there in the activity, and having your sweatpants on is neither here nor there in the activity of killing yourself, I do understand there's things that involve, oh, you shave your head and you put your head in the oven and it'll be easier to kill yourself or something. That has a road, a path, a logic. Yeah. But just being in a pair of sweatpants and a t-shirt, it doesn't make sense to go, now I got to strip down and kill myself.
Yeah.
So that feels a little weird to me.
Again, I'm not hearing any confirmation of anything. Everything's all a level of rumor. So we're purely going through an exercise here right now.
The other thing,
because he is a guy that could have impulsively killed himself. He is that guy,
okay,
for sure.
Then my other thing is this. What, 41 years of age?
41. Also a suicide risk, that age.
That age?
Mid-age white male. At risk.
Mm.
Substance, risk. Depression, risk. Trauma, risk. All these risk factors. Okay.
My next question, and it's all I need to know.
Before you ask, I just want to blurt this out, which is for everybody. These are fleeting thoughts that pass, which is why we lock people up for a couple of days. Do not let a fleeting thought become a permanent tragedy. That's what I keep championing. Reach out. Call a suicide hotline. Tell somebody. Anybody who's being told these things, take it seriously. All you need to know is,
that's my OJ thing. If I hear enough of Nicole Brown Simpson screaming into a 911 operator's ear, he's going to kill me, he's going to kill me, I tell you he's going to kill me, and then we find her dead, that helps in my decision-making process. Mm-hmm. And if I find out that he, Chester's, never engaged in this autoerotic asphyxiation business, if there's not some guy I went to high school with or his wife or whomever that said, came home early from work. Like, if there's not that, if there's simply, I don't know what you're talking about. I've never even heard of it. Yeah. No, I've caught him, you know, in the shower taking care of business before, not involving this. Like, I've never heard of this.
You and I have gone to funerals for people over this where we were shocked.
Well, just a funeral, to be fair.
Well, a funeral. A funeral.
Not funerals. Dozens and dozens of young.
A funeral. But it was a 28-year-old, and we were like, Jesus, no idea.
Could you imagine? Imagine this kid. He is – his parents are going to pick him up at the airport for the holidays.
Yeah, I think it was.
And they show up to the airport to pick up their beloved son –
who, by the way, is a great guy.
He was a great guy. And one of the biggest tragedies of all, a car guy. So we used to talk cars. We won't mention his name out of respect. But he was a sweet kid. And he was also one of these guys where I
also
hate...
Also recovering opiate addict. Oh, knew that.
I did not know that. Yeah. Has this... Was that by your standards or by my standards?
No. I actually did some speaking in the East on behalf of his sponsor.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Did not know that.
Oh, yeah.
He's one of these guys that basically physically resembled Brian. What's his name at the other shop who head back to? Andrew. It's like you hearing that Andrew died of autoerotic asphyxiation. Like, you just would go like, what? No, the sweet little kind of boy next door look or whatever it is.
That's
who the guy resembled.
Absolutely. Yeah.
That's who he looked
Crazy.
Like. He looked like that guy. About the same age, young guy, clean cut, didn't seem to be involved in anything, like cars. And his parents, he's flying home to Chicago or New York or wherever he hails from. He's out in Hollywood trying to make his mark. His parents are going to go pick him up at the airport. He's flying home for the holidays. They fly. They go to the airport. The plane arrives. He never gets off the plane.
Yeah.
They want to know where he is. Yeah. Like, imagine being there to pick your son up at the airport. All right, he missed his flight, or why didn't he send us, you know, this is before texting and that kind of stuff. So, all right, maybe called and left a message or something, check the home phone, call the guy's, I don't know, roommate or whatever.
Sponsor. That guy got involved again. Same guy.
Get into the apartment, find him in the bathroom. Dead. Of autoerotic asphyxiation. Imagine the parents. Just imagine that. I did not know that he was recovering.
Yeah.
And now the link between recovering and that.
Focus.
Now, that's one of those things that you know that the media doesn't know, that no one else knows, and that no one really gets, and whatever else. But if that then gets me much closer.
The other thing is the very characteristic thing they do is they're sort of on their knees and they lean into the belt. Mm-hmm. That's sort of the characteristic behavior. We usually find them on their knees on the bed, sort of fall into the side,
mm-hmm.
not hanging from a fixture above. Right. You know, they kick the stool out.
Right.
At all.
Right.
That's not there.
Right.
So I don't know what happened here. I don't know how they found him. I don't know.
Boy.
Yeah. But again, it's a reminder. It's a reminder. It's a reminder. It's very sad. You met him a million times like I did. Nicest, most joyous, friendly, outgoing. I mean, just do it. Right? I mean,
yeah.
That's just.
No, I mean, it's. Look, the problem with all this stuff is it's never. It doesn't work in order of how nice the person is or how generous they are or how anything they are. It'd be nice if it sort of went, you know, merit based.
Yeah.
And went accordingly. You know, it never goes accordingly.
Yeah.
All right. Let's take a phone call here.
All right.
Yeah.
All right, I'll do Blind Score. How about that first? Phone call?
Yeah, one quick phone call. All right. Hey, Nick, 37, Los Angeles.
Me? Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Just quickly, I've been a long, long time listener, huge fan for probably since I was probably 20 years old. So this is very, very surreal. So just want to say hi to you.
Thanks. Single and, pair, Drew.
Yeah.
What is single payer?
Single payer is like Medicare is a single payer. It's just like
why they call it single payer?
Because there's no one else in the business but the government.
Oh boy,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's always good, right? Most efficient, best at problem solving.
You know, I don't like to talk cars, but on that track, you have Fords, Mustangs, and Capris. You have BMWs. You have Porsches. Mm-hmm. You have me driving a Nissan. You have Chevy and Corvettes out there. Why do you think those cars get faster and lighter and faster every year as opposed to all Fords? Just 44 Fords where Ford just wins the race and a Ford loses the race and they're all competing.
Yeah.
All feverishly competing against each other.
Yeah.
Where do you think all that crazy development comes from?
The competition itself.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. It's helpful.
So what you're saying is we should have a single racer system.
Yeah. Well, I don't. All I know is when the government just sort of has a monopoly on stuff, it or anyone has a monopoly on stuff, it doesn't go
well. There's no dynamism.
Thank you. Let me check True Car real quick, and then we'll get back to Nick over here. Shopping for a car, make sure you're getting a real price on actual inventory. People configure cars online only to find out they're not available. That's why we go with True Car, real pricing on actual inventory. Not pricing offered by True Car, but pricing from an actual True Car certified dealer. Over 3 million cars sold by over 13,000 True Car certified dealers nationwide. So if you're going new or you're going used, you go True Car. True Car users save an average of $3,000 off of MSRP. So, again, when you're ready to buy, you go True Car. You see what others are paying exactly. The exact price that others are paying in your region, in your vicinity, on the date. Find out what they're paying apples to apples for that car, and then you lock in your price and you go pick it up. True Car. It's a more confident car buying experience.
Yes,
all right. So single payer, you don't like, Drew.
Oh, not.
Or you do like.
Yeah, I have mixed feelings about it. I mean, the mess we're in, it's like we need to, I don't know what we do to get out of it, and that's one way out. I don't mind a multiple tiered system. I think that would be the way to go.
Yeah. Could I make like a different analogy?
Yeah, go ahead.
So just for the sake of kind of discussion. So I totally hear your argument, Adam, about competition, and I think for certain, a lot of things, probably most things, you're totally right. Cars, clothing.
Oh, I want to make one thing clear. Know. I like competition, but I also like skin in the game. I like everyone to feel like they've got some say in their health care and there's some skin in it. But go ahead.
I mean, No, I totally agree. Totally agree. And I think, I think one of the things is, and I mean, first of all, I'm a physician. I'm a little bit biased because I sort of see this every day, day in, day out. And Drew, you do too.
Oh, yeah.
But what I would argue is that right now, if you look at the quote car that America is driving, we are driving a piece of shit. And there are a lot of other countries for various reasons that are outdriving us, you know, in various, whatever metric you look at. I think no matter what happens, you're going to end up with some kind of tiered system. That's what they have. Canada has a tiered system. Germany has all these places have tiered systems, but they have some baseline level. And what, and to speak to skin in the game, I think one of the things that forces people to have skin in the game is either they have to buy or they're taxed. So then they are forced to have skin.
But Nick, the one area where I'm getting kind of concerned is where I am all for insurance being insurance. I don't think insurance should necessarily be an entitlement, and that's where I'm conflicted. I think that might be the way to tier it up. Let people choose the kinds of coverage and the kinds of liabilities they want to take on. You know what I mean? That's where it feels non-American to force everybody into everything, doesn't it?
Yeah. Well, I hear that. I think that there are certain things that everybody has to be forced to protect themselves from. Because, for example, if you say, well, I don't want, it's like a commodity like anything else. I don't want to buy it. It's America. I don't have to buy something if I don't want to. But then I get in a car accident. I'm bleeding out. You know, I get brought into the trauma slot. You're not going to choose not to consume at that point.
No, but hold on. I didn't say you shouldn't be forced to do it. I'm saying you shouldn't be forced one thing. You should have some choice in the matter. That's all I'm saying.
But right. Yeah, I mean, I hear that too. But choosing insurance for health, I mean, how do you even evaluate? It's like, which disease am I going to get? Like, how do you even
not about the disease? It's about protecting against disaster. Protect you. The insurance is a financial instrument. It's not a care instrument. That's the point.
It should be insuring
you against the impossible, where you can't care for yourself or you can't get the care you need.
I know people don't like this analogy, but let's just talk cars.
Oh, boy.
So we have a law that you have to have insurance to drive a car, and that's fine. I get it. And this is different. It's not a one-to-one straight across analogy. And then there's a whole bunch of different tiers. Like you can just have comp and collision, or you could have a very basic, or you could have a low deductible or high deductible.
Mm-hmm.
And you can then choose where you want to go with a big name like Allstate, or you want to go with the General.
Yeah.
Some of the worst commercials ever. But there appears to be a lot of different choices for brands of car insurance, and then a lot of different choices within. Like I could remember when I was poor.
But nobody's going to try to give you something they call insurance that's going to cover your tires and your brakes and your drive shaft and everything and your paint and your. I mean, that's what we've gotten into now.
No, but that's
the point. We need to let it be insurance and not be an entitlement where you buy stuff for your car and they take care of your entire car all the time.
Well, no, I agree with that. Yeah. And I also agree with the part where when I was poor, at some point they enacted this. If you drive, you get pulled over, you need proof of insurance. But all they needed was comp and collision or whatever it was. It wasn't stolen, whatever. So what I did, Nick, is I said, let me get the minimum amount. I can't afford anything. Let me get the minimum amount. If I get pulled over, I won't get in trouble with the government. And then I put a fuel kill switch in for the stolen part because I wasn't insured for that because I didn't want to pay for that. And I probably went for the cheapest stuff I could find, too, and not the State Farm. Or the Allstate, or something with the word state in it. So I kind of like that approach to health insurance. And yeah, if you get into an accident, there's a deductible. You have to pay the deductible. And no, it doesn't cover a cigarette burn on the passenger seat when you try to flick the butt out the window and it blew back in. That's up to you. It's your car.
Or maybe there is something you can find that would cover.
Well, and or with the car analogy,
that's up to you too.
How about you change the oil on a regular basis and keep it parked in a garage and look after it so it doesn't break down, so you don't have to do those costly engine repairs.
So you're motivating people by having the high overhead, the high deductible, to take care of themselves and their
car. And also, to your point, insurance is not going to pay for a head gasket. You're going to have to maintain that. And yeah, I don't know exactly what that
insurance,
means.
But in health insurance, we've decided it should cover everything. That's the problem.
I'd like the prices to come down, and then you could go walk yourself into a clinic and for $80 get something done, you know, that wasn't $8,000.
Yeah, you can do that.
I don't want to
torture you guys. But let me ask you another kind of hypothetical question.
Well, no, we like this, but we never really dealt with this topic.
I never really dealt with it.
Yeah, so we're just sort of thinking out loud. So
it's obviously of paramount importance.
I like talking to a young physician about this. That's where I'm really listening carefully because it's you know, you guys are the ones deep in it now and have to solve the problem going forward. So go ahead.
Yeah, and as a former prosecutor, I'm into all the exchanges. I like it all.
All your former. Your experience. So my other hypothetical would be, what do you think? Because one of the things that I find sort of just kind of distasteful and just doesn't feel right to me is the idea that an insurance company, which, you know, I mean, in a very simplistic way, they take in money from, premiums that people have to pay. And then when somebody has and then there's an agreement about what they will cover and what they won't cover and how much and what's the deductible and all that stuff. But the fact that they can essentially, there's no limit on the
profits.
Basically ratio. Right.
Yeah.
So they have something called a medical loss ratio.
That's right. So there should be something called insurance reform, which is what Obamacare was intended to be. And you're right. Yeah. And you're right. That insurance is, think of the hundreds and hundreds, probably billions of dollars that are taken out of healthcare and into the insurance companies.
Listen.
Look at the salaries.
Yeah. But Nick, I'm with you.
Astronomical.
I agree. I'd like the whole system to be reformed. Although I did hear this with the pre-existing conditions stuff, getting back to car insurance. Like, what if, you know, it's called insurance.
Right. That's my thing.
It's like you can't get a car accident and then go get the car insured.
Right.
It's already been damaged.
And it's
no, it's not insured. What I'm saying is,
I get what you're saying.
It's not insurance. If you have a car accident and then go get insurance and say fix my car, they go, you got in an accident last week.
Yeah, it wasn't insured. You didn't buy insurance, but it also should be insurance and not entitlement.
Right,
you're not entitled to it. You buy insurance. It is quote insurance against financial catastrophe. That's what it's an insurance against. You want some insurance against being disappointed?
Go, Drew.
Go get Blinds Galore.
Yeah, buddy.
They do one thing better than anyone, that is create 100% custom window treatments to your exact measurements down to every detail. You got to come see those windows in the
pool room.
The place where you did your little Adam Carolla show, little piece. Some of the workers there were like, when's the follow-on? Why aren't they coming back to see to get the pictures of what it looks like now? And you'd be happier with all the blinds because blinds on every window. There was one that didn't fit right. They took it right back, refit it, no problem.
Love it.
2 million windows and counting. These experts will guide you every step of the way. Plus, they send out the free samples. There's free shipping. On top of the free expertise and the samples and the expertise, you'll get exactly what you want. Even if you're a lunk like me, they'll figure it out with you. We've got them. The studio have them. Blinds Galore makes it easy to get the designer blinds and shades you've always wanted without that designer price tag. Trust me, when you get that sort of, they send you a kit, like a designer kit is what it is to figure out what you want. You just step you right through it. Swatches the whole deal. Check out blindsgalore.com. Let them know that Adam and Drew sent you. That is blindsgalore.com.
All right. We got the podcasting masterclass. That's coming up, Irvine Improv, this Saturday. Everybody's going to be there. So come on out and check it out. 6 hours. Probably pay about $7.50, about minimum wage to watch me talk. I'm getting minimum wage. The merch. Let's get those buck slips. Everyone loves the buck slips. I got the hats and the mugs and all that. But get the branded buck slips, and you can flip them over and go on both sides of them. AdamCarolla.com. Chassis, Two S's and a Y at the end there. We got a lot of new movies showing up, so check that out. Drewski, what do you got?
Go to Dr.com. Check out the family of pods there. You Live. Got Catherwood and Bob Forrest coming in and out. Got me and Spaz. Got some very interesting stuff going on there if you're at all inclined to science. And we need your support. Check it out.
So, until next time, I'm Prof. Dr. Drewski. Mahalo.